You're listening to DraftKings Network.
So much for listening to the podcast in this first segment. Oh man, we talk about so much. We unbox some stuff from Live Brief Football, which was awesome. We talk about our time in Philly and how amazing it was. And Drilladelphia is just such a wonderful city. That's right, you'll find out what that means. We also talk about Allie Krieger. Oh, that's right, again, she hit 100 caps. They celebrate it. We celebrate it. We also talk about Jill Ellis leaving. We talk about James O'Connor leaving on his own. Maybe not. No. We talk about some other stuff going on.
Yes, and in the second segment, we are joined by Gloria Averbush and Yael Averbush. Hey. You may, Yael's been on the show before, played professionally at NWSL, executive director of the NWSL Players Union, app developer. We have her mother's an author. It's a mother-daughter day on the Cooligans.
I get roasted across the board. That and more on this episode of the Cooligans!
Hi, I'm John Strong. I'm the large bald man who stands next to Stu Holden when you watch soccer on Fox Sports. You are listening to the Cooligans.
Yeah, baby!
It is. Wow.
Back to being dizzy.
Okay. The blood is now gone from Alexis's brain.
Yeah. Wait, is that where it's supposed to go?
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is exciting. Right. That yeah, baby sounds very familiar. I think I heard it in Philadelphia from time to time.
What an honor to be yelled at by Philly fans and to survive that.
Yeah. Look at that. Pretty impressive. So we'll talk about our trip going to the game.
Normally in Philly, when you get yelled at by sports fans, that's what you're explaining to the police officer as what began before your face was broken.
Exactly. You know what I mean? And that's my favorite thing about Philly, that the sports fans, regardless of the sport, it doesn't matter if it's a very gentle sport, the energy is gonna
the
be
polo ground
it's gonna be
gets lit
aggressive out there. So welcome to the show, everybody. Hello, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerrero.
All right, we are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer television show that you've ever watched.
Is that all it is, though?
No, it's not just that.
No, it can't be, right?
No, there's more on the resume.
That's right, because it happens to be the gulliest soccer podcast, and that should be off.
There it is.
That's right. That's my parole officer.
There it is. Television, it doesn't matter. Like I said,
keep it in, baby.
It doesn't matter what medium we are. Alexis will not raise the level of professionalism, even one bit.
Not at all. Why, first of all, this is what you paid for, Fubo. Okay? Who took the dump in the bathroom? Me. Who stole all the toilet paper? Me. This is what you purchased.
Okay, they're learning real fast. No regrets. They have it tattooed on their chest.
No regrets.
So, yes, welcome to the show. I am excited because we did have a really cool time out in Philadelphia. We met a lot of Cooligans fans. I'll be honest, did not expect that much brotherly love from the city of brotherly love.
Yeah, dude, when we were on the way down there, we were calling it Drilladelphia. We were like, we're going to get killed, dude. But it turns out...
Is that a thing people say? I
just made it up. Actually, I feel really cool about it. I feel like Meek Mill needs to hear about it. So someone let Meek know what's up. But yeah, I was really excited to be down there. And then, yo, the immense amount of love we start getting from everybody.
Look, we were there for the NYCFC match, that Philly was hosting.
Right.
It's the decision day. So if you guys don't know, decision day is the final day in Major League Soccer.
That's right.
Where you figure out where the teams are going to end up and what playoff positioning and who's going to make it into the playoffs. In the Eastern Conference, everything was basically set. But the
kind of boring, like we all knew what was up.
Yeah, everybody went into this particular game just like, nobody get hurt. Everybody. Yeah.
Everybody chill.
Everybody relax.
How about just a little game of kickabout?
You know all right, have a little fun.
You go over there, we go over here.
And you know what? There were like three injuries.
Yeah. What are y'all doing?
Ridiculous.
Who told y'all to try? It wasn't us.
Trying a little too hard. So,
speaking of love, though, we've been getting some amazing reviews.
We have. And we have to... read this one and point it out, because this was super cool. This was an iTunes review. So guys, don't forget, leave iTunes reviews. I know you're
watching. No, iTunes are gone after this update. So leave an Apple Podcast review.
Correct. Hey, we don't make the rules.
We don't know what the hell's going on.
Every app you love is now gone.
I also want to say iTunes needs to go, because right under our podcast logo is Clean Lyrics, which, no, it ain't. Nah, not only do we not have lyrics, ain't nothing clean about it.
We're also inventing words like Drilladelphia.
Drilladelphia. Well, I'm getting another phone call. It's the mayor of Drilladelphia.
So, we did have we always get a lot of love, and we're trying to get to 600 reviews.
That's right.
On iTunes.
We're trying to build up, baby.
On Apple Podcast. So
but please, this one is from Nick Nice, COYL.
Yes.
Come on, you loons. I'm assuming that means.
That's right.
Minnesota.
So this was great. So I'll
drill a soda.
Hey, man, pretty impressive. Okay, so this is from Nick. This is a really cool. We're going to read this. So it says, guys, I met you with my son. Don't laugh throughout the whole thing. Guys, I met you with my son, Henry. He's an NYCFC fan outside Allianz Field before the first game with Minnesota United.
Drillisota United. It just doesn't fit. There's nothing drill about
it. He goes, Henry was 4 days out of having surgery, but he flew to Minnesota for the game and was with his third row guys even still. I never knew what Gully was. I never listened to the podcast, but I know now, and I listen to you every week. You guys kept us laughing through a couple rough months of chemo, and Henry's all better now. And now our teams are first in the East and second in the West. They were second in the West a while ago,
right?
He says, keep it going, even though you're big TV stars now. And give my boy Henry a birthday shout out this Sunday, and stay gully. Come on, you loons and chicken bucket.
Yo, shouts to Henry, man. Shouts to you.
Yeah, man.
You know how difficult, I mean, my wife is an oncology nurse. I know how extremely difficult it is what you're going through. And at that young age, dude, shouts to Henry.
Bravo, Henry. And happy birthday.
Happy birthday, yo.
Cheers, man. So thank you.
Yo, tell your father to give us his credit card number. We'll fly out for your birthday, okay? You know, like, I know you got it. We coming to drill a soda.
Okay. Alexa will find any way to make this about himself or any way that he can benefit.
Yeah. The benefit is clearly for the kid, you know?
No, but we're happy we could help. I mean, it's not a thing we go into necessarily thinking about, you know, because we're doing jokes about drill a soda. Yeah. But if it could help, we're happy to
do
that.
If any of this helps somebody, well, then thank you and you're welcome.
So, the soccer community is incredibly supportive and loving, and we want to give that right back to you guys.
Yeah,
so, let's get to a couple boxes. We have boxes.
That's right.
In front of us.
My favorite segment, unboxing.
Alexis is a big.
It's the only reason we do this podcast.
Big fan of free things. Let me open one first. And this is related, I believe, to what I'm wearing. I'm wearing an Umbro shirt. It says okay. It's from Umbro. Okay.
So what is it?
Okay, this is just
a pair of shorts.
A pair of shorts.
What size?
This is. Okay. I thought I was gonna say triple X.
Yeah.
But it's not. It is medium. So this is for me.
That's you.
Okay. Yeah.
But they're the OG Umbro shorts.
Okay. Are they what? Like they ride high?
No. These are like this is the classic shorts. Like when I was a kid, if you had. I mean, why are we holding in the? I know it's yours, but too bad. What does it say on it? There's a number on it. I don't know what that means.
It's like a skew.
These are the official Umbro shorts. Like when you were a kid, if you like you played soccer or even went to the pool.
Whoa, these are like tremendous.
Yeah, you wear these shorts with the square sort of pattern.
Oh.
Do you remember this at all?
And they have pockets.
Do they?
Yeah.
All right, so you can touch yourself in the pool. That's great.
No, thank you.
No, I'm just looking for my keys.
Thank you for these, Umbro. These look like I'm about to like.
I can't get out of the pool right now. Just give me a minute.
This looks like I'll wear these to fight Canelo Alvarez. You know what I'm saying?
You mean you wear those to die at the hands of Canelo Alvarez.
Thank you, Umbro.
I like this. This doesn't even have an address on it. It just says the Cooligans and it got here.
Oh, look at that. I'm pretty sure that's Poison.
Oh, I see who it's from already. Oh.
Okay, this is LBF.
Liberty Football. Yo.
Okay, all right, okay, look at this.
Yeah, I'm
so Live Breathe Football. Fair. If you don't know them, they are a clothing brand based out of Philadelphia.
I always read, and I'm not the one who knows how to read, so why don't you do this?
Okay. So handwriting's a little rough, but I can get through it.
All right,
so,
don't complain about it.
Alexis and Christian, congratulations on the Fubo TV show. It's amazing I'm not gonna swear, but it's as amazing as F to see real.
You are aware I said Drilladelphia and Drillasoda.
It's gonna be bleeped anyway, so I just want people to know. I said it's amazing as F to see real MFers winning. Keep making me laugh and inspiring us all.
Yo!
From myself and everyone at LBF, enjoy the threads, plus get Get bent off the, what is this
Duce,
called?
Douce, baby.
Douce, you deserve it.
We got a bottle of Douce VSOP cognac.
All the best, Aboon. Thank you, Aboon.
Wait till we drop an album by the time this Douce is done.
So wait, what is this exactly? What is it? It's like whiskey?
It's a very high-end cognac. It's been mentioned in 1,000 rap songs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yo, yes. It's been rhymed with lots of words. Okay, this is the Portland Thorns.
He did a Portland Thorns. If you don't know about Lippery football, they do like collabs. They did a collab with Sporting Kansas City and Portland Thorns.
Yeah.
I mean, this clothes is insane. I mean, here's a Sporting Kansas City jacket, which is so dope.
This is wild.
Yo, shouts to Lippery football. Check their website out, especially if you're a Thorns fan. Or yeah, how about this? If you are a fan of a team that doesn't have a collab with Lippery football,
yeah,
yo, send an email to that team. They look how dope this is.
They're supporting and working with MLS teams, with NWSL teams. Like, they're really a part of the culture. So it's really, really cool. So this is great. Yeah. Thank
and
you so much.
They sent us a bottle of Douce, which is awesome.
The Douce is a hit.
Clearly, there's one of
everyone here at Fubo is going to love it. They're going to get drunk in between segments.
Wait, we're sharing?
We will share, Alexis.
All
yes.
Right. Why doesn't everyone share your shorts, Christian? Doesn't make sense. I want to keep my Douce.
I don't. That look about. I think it'll lead to some issues with HR.
Yeah.
All of us.
You know, I know HR.
sharing my shorts. But thank you, LBF. Yes, we did get to see Aboon out there in Philly, and we did have a great time, man.
Absolutely.
NYCFC did win the game 2-1, so we didn't get to see at least we got to see a goal, and we got to experience the duping.
That's what they sing when they score a goal.
We're not
cool.
Making fun of anyone.
No,
that's what they say and what they sing. It's dope. The energy out in town, and
it's dope.
It's highly dope. The dupe had reached exponential levels, but it was dope. I mean, we got to hang out with Fishtown FC, at Parcero Philly.
His girl, which is she was very nice.
Yes, Mike Thomas, a Gully Squad member.
But most importantly, I mean, they're all important.
They're all important.
But we got to meet a legend in the game. You've known them since day one. If you follow soccer, young children have been thinking about one day, 40 years later, maybe we get to meet the man, the myth, the legend, the lizard, the snake, Fang. Everybody,
we got to hang out with Fang, and you'll see some videos with Fang that we're gonna be working on.
That's right. We filmed a little something with Fang.
A little something,
you know, a drill, a sketch. I couldn't think of.
But we did have a blast while we were there, man.
It was an absolute honor to work with Fang and the whole team there. Yes. Everyone's great.
Yes, yes. Outstanding employee, Fang. Yeah, yeah. Really.
Never swears. Doesn't talk.
That's right. And one thing I wanted to mention, because we did get a lot of love and support while we were out there. The Philadelphia Union are in the playoffs. They're going to be playing against the New York Red Bulls. But they're this Thursday, they're going to be hosting a playoff rally at Xfinity Live. So go to that. That is going to be October 10th at 7 p.m. At Xfinity Live. And show some love if you're in Philadelphia. Have a good time.
It's a nice rally. Come out, take a couple pictures. I'm sure Fang will be there. Some of the players.
That's right.
You know, mention the name Drilladelphia. You know what I mean? Just bring it up.
Mention the Cooligans sent you. You know, you'll get a 10% discount to a free event.
And give us part of that 10%.
Exactly.
You know, you win a couple World Cups. You get to walk away whenever you want. Jill Ellis is done. She coached her last game.
That's right. A 1-1 draw against Korea.
That's right.
But Jill Ellis, I mean, we have
out on the top, baby. She won a World Cup. I want to be like, why even make me play? Why even make me coach this game?
The victory tours are always a little strange, right? Because you want to, like, where the excitement is not the same as obviously a competitive game.
Of course not.
It's not necessarily also like, it's a weird friendly. The energy feels a little different because it's like, yo, let me invite you.
Team.
Let me invite you so I could celebrate my trophy that I won in another country.
It's like inviting your ex to your wedding. You know, why don't you go ahead? You show up, you relax. You know what I mean?
Just basking on my glory.
I mean, you're not really that important, but we want you to be there.
Just make sure you don't make a scene.
Take it easy. This is my day. Yeah.
So, but Jill Ellis, man, an incredible time with the U.S.
Come to the drillibration. There's no reason for any of this. I want you to know.
Okay, we know the word of the day. An incredible career with the women's national team, and now it sort of puts the program this kind of weird place of like the clear success, but no clear successor. So we don't know. There's no real like.
What are you talking about? Take 18 months to hire Greg Berhalter.
Just keep it the U.S. yeah. soccer style.
You know, what are you talking about? We ain't got time. We got all the time in the world.
We got about 3 years yeah. for the next World Cup.
We just hire someone a year before a major competition.
Just 2 weeks before the Olympics. Like, yeah. Hey, oh my God. We yeah.
we. Oh, yeah.
Slipped my mind.
Oh, no. We left the kid at home.
So I hope. U.S. soccer handles this a little bit differently than they did with the men's program, but incredible just amount of credit for Jill Ellis, even though people did say like her job was not really Hope Solo was.
I was gonna say no. People didn't say that. Hope Solo said this.
Hope Solo,
yo, she trash. B.
Anybody could coach that team. Well, no, you know what? Now we're gonna see if anybody can just really just coach that team that easily.
Does it hurt her legacy if the next coach comes in and wins the next two?
There's no way you win two World Cups. It's impossible to hurt your legacy in right. any way.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. So, but we got to give her credit where the credit is due. She did, make the field the right team.
She should go coach the women's team in Napoli and start doing blow like Maradona. I watched the special. I watched the documentary.
Okay, Alexis, why should she do that?
I don't know. It makes for a pretty good documentary, if you ask me.
You know what? I think that might affect her legacy.
Apparently it doesn't. If anything, it just makes you wild lit at parties.
Anyway, watch that. Yeah. Watch the documentary. Ellis. Yeah.
Drillis. It gets dumb every time.
But no, so incredible from her. And we should also, let's talk about other coaching vacancies that are in Major League Soccer.
5 minutes after Orlando City lost their match.
The whistle blew. Yeah. already.
Like, hey, you're gone.
James O'Connor's like, he's getting all these texts. Like, I'm not. I shouldn't even have my phone on the field, but
a drone with a pink slip comes down at the end of the match. This seems like a grand misuse of funds.
James O'Connor, head coach of Orlando City, outed, fired, sacked, as they say in Europe.
You got all of them, all in one. Look at him; he looks upset about it in this photo.
Sure, I mean, I don't. He's never smiled.
No,
But no, it's a bit of a bummer. A lot of Orlando City fans were actually big fans of James O'Connor and don't feel that. He's the reason the team is not hasn't been able to make it into the playoffs and hasn't really found any success.
Look at the talent they have on that field.
Yeah.
And it clearly starts from something other than just the coach, because Adrian Heath is going to the playoffs.
Yeah, he's right? doing fine. Yeah.
And he's doing just fine. And
Jason Kreis is going. Oh, wait, no. Yeah. Where is Jason Kreis?
Okay, well, it's not always not the coach's fault. But clearly there's some type of structural issue in Orlando, and hopefully it gets taken care of. Because the fans show up for their games and they do a great job of cheering. But he's not the only one who's gotten. Well, I guess Pelado is leaving.
Pelado.
Pelado. What did I say?
Not Pelado.
I said Pelado. you forget I have a Cuban accent. Right? We swallow our tongues when we speak. All right? We're not all perfect like the Dominicans, everybody.
Oh, wow. Our flawless Spanish? Yeah, thank you for giving us the credit. No, Pelado Almeida, Matias Almeida, he is the rumors are, after San Jose did not make it into the playoffs, lost to the Portland Timbers.
The rumors started before that, because if you notice, the Monterey fans were tweeting, like, been a Portland Timbers fan my whole life.
Yeah, yeah.
Up the Portland Timbers. All in Spanish, like, love Portland Timbers.
They're having chainsaws and cutting trees.
they have me mind that.
So no, but yeah, so the rumor is that he might that Monterrey might trigger the buyout clause,
right,
and actually try to get Pelado Almeida and his staff to Monterrey, because the rumor is that he's not
his staff
happy.
And him haven't assimilated to San Jose.
Yeah, he's saying like, you know, no, you know, he's sort of
What's his face? Patrick Vieira said.
Yeah, like
what are you talking about?
What's going on?
I was a France visiting family.
Also, I'm leaving to go to France. Turns out, yeah, we're right. Mid-sentence?
That didn't last long.
Wow.
Usually you keep the lie going a little longer.
I feel like I don't need to print the first half of that sentence. No.
But it would be a bummer if he left. I think he started
to change the culture there. They didn't buy anybody. They didn't sign anybody.
They didn't win the last like 8 games. Yeah. It's just like insane.
Apparently he'd been gone for the last 8 games.
But he got red carded all these times and stuff like that. Yeah. So it's frustrating. We hope he decides to stay because I think San Jose can really
good for the culture here.
Yeah. So there've been a lot of departures. Players are getting older, you know. They have to go to a farm upstate. Right. Which is unfortunate.
Do they have to?
That's how it works.
Sorry, son.
No, but we have we had a lot of announced retirements, and it's been a bittersweet sort of last like month because we knew that this was like the final time we're going to see a lot of these players.
Also, especially for Tim Howard, for you in particular,
that's right.
One of the reasons why you picked Everton. So you'll never forgive him. You
know? It is going to be very difficult. Tim Howard, who he's now playing for had his final match with the Colorado Rapids, but obviously played for Manchester United, played for Everton,
played for the Metro Stars.
The New York, New Jersey Metro Stars, right. The New Jersey legend, Tim Howard. And so he was a big reason of why I wanted to support Everton, because Everton was one of the few teams in the Premier League that was like signing.
Cool with Americans, because Landon Donovan played there for a little while.
That's right.
Who also retired. But there he is, Tim Howard saying goodbye. American legend. Also, seems like the end of that era where like American goalkeepers were like the thing to have. You know what I mean?
Sure. They were the shiny, bald object.
Right. You know, like everyone wants a certain chain. You know what I mean? Or everybody remember pimp cups was the thing for a while. He was a pimp cup. You had to have a pimp cup. Were you even a rapper if you didn't have a pimp cup? You know what I mean? Are you even a Premier League team if you ain't got an American goalkeeper?
That's true. We had, Brad Friedel.
Right? Another pimp cup.
A little rough around the edges pimp cup, but a pimp cup nonetheless.
Yeah, pimp cup. This pimp cup got a lot of opinions.
So a tough ass Pimka. Brad Guzan as well, who is playing for Atlanta United now. But he sort of set the that is a common thing with soccer that is. I don't know if it happens with other sports, but when a player is successful from a particular country, everybody's like, "Yo, we gotta go." Right.
Wait, there's creative midfielders in Brazil. Get me as many Brazilians as you can find.
They don't even, and that'll like inflate players' value depending on what country that they're from.
Absolutely. Like for a long time, it was hard to get an American to play in what they call the outfield, like in the actual field.
Yeah.
They're like, "Oh, you're American? Cool, you're in goal." Like, "No, I'm a striker." No. They're like, "It's hilarious." That's hilarious.
Real cute. Oh,
everybody, did you hear what this guy said? You hear what this 4'8" guy said? Get him in goal. Yeah.
So he's our shot stopper. Yeah. No.
Kid's a brick wall.
So, but Tim Howard did do a lot for goalkeepers and probably did lay the path for other teams trying to take a shot on other goalkeepers in Europe. So, but also we have to talk about DeMarcus Beasley.
Hold on, let's not forget the most important part of Tim Howard, Jersey legend. Okay.
Oh, that's right.
To you.
Yeah.
Also, he has he did do a lot for people with I can't remember the word.
Tourette's.
I couldn't think of it.
Yes, he has Tourette syndrome. He's like a big advocate in helping.
Yeah, so he's done a lot for kids who have Tourette's and play sports and stuff who would sometimes get picked on and made fun of.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, just be taller and bigger than them. And they're like, well, that's not the best advice for everybody.
So, yes, he did a lot.
No, he does a lot.
Also, DeMarcus Beasley, we have to talk about the Houston Dynamo.
Run DMB.
Plays in his final match. Wins.
This is the fourth time he's retired. Let's start there. Okay.
It's strange that he's retiring at 22 years old.
Yeah,
He's had quite the longevity.
This kid is the Larry David of professional soccer.
He
retires at the end of every season, gets pulled right back in. So I don't know. Who knows if he retired, 4 years ago at like 33 or 34?
I think he retired from international duty.
No. He retired.
Retired.
Houston, yeah.
Oh, Houston, you retired?
Oh, damn. Both of them? So he got called back in by the Houston Dynamo. And I think to this day, probably still the best left back we have in the system.
He's one of the greatest American footballers we've ever had. I mean, without a doubt. So
played in Europe, could have went to Barcelona. He just revealed that there was some conversation I was on vacation. You know, he could have gone if he wanted to.
Yeah. I love the speculation on this show. Yeah. Like, he could have been a Galactico.
Yeah. Go ahead, Google that. Look You'll it up, find our website.
You're not going to find any corroborating evidence. No, never. But trust us. But no, DMB was just a hero, and he inspired a lot of the current U.S. Men's national team and stuff like that. So a lot of love there. So it was just cool to see. And a couple other people
we got to get them on the show. Can we get these guys on the show? Tim Howard, come on the show. We got a bleep button, baby.
You know what I mean? Is that what you think? He has been known to, like, when he gets, like...
There was a chant that in Everton.
Yes, that's right.
Tim Tiru. He's our goalkeeper, and he yells, F you. Well, yeah, they don't say F you, but... Because he would just yell that because he's got Tourette's. You know what I mean? Who cares? You know what I mean?
Yes, that's how Europeans show that they are allies. They just create a chant of whatever most offensive thing.
We're going to take the thing you're most insecure about, and we're going to just jam it into a song, and then 800 people standing behind you are going to sing it in unison, and all of them are drunk, but somehow still remember this quality.
But behind a beat.
Yeah, I mean, if it slaps, it slaps. You know, we don't care. We co-sign anything that slaps. Talk about me being fat. If it goes, it goes. We recently were at a media event, and we got to talk to some of the NYCFC players who are top of the East, get a bye in the first round of the playoffs.
And also going to the CONCACAF Champions League.
And going to the CONCACAF Champions League. We're going to go. We're probably going to go to that. That'll be fun. Play a game in Philadelphia. But right now, why don't we go to this great interview we did with one of our friends, Ben Sweat.
All right, everybody, you know exactly who this is. We nicknamed the man. Maybe he'd rather be, Clearwater fishing, all right? Freshwater fishing than sitting on the third floor in New York City. But, baby, when you're with us, you're having a good time. It's almost like fishing, but it doesn't make you go to sleep. Ladies and gentlemen, Sweatinho himself, Ben Sweat. What's up, everyone?
What's up, guys? How are you guys doing?
How did, I feel like the nickname... kind of stuck. I feel like a couple of people were tweeting at you.
It's stuck, man. I got actually quite a few tweets and comments. It always pops up, so it's stuck. For sure.
Look at that. Look at the influence.
We're influencers.
Yeah. Influencers now. Exactly.
Yeah.
Instagram influencers.
Absolutely. Check out my hot girl summer photos I'm posting all over Instagram.
Yeah. Hashtag TV2.
Ben, we were talking before we started recording. How does it feel to be back? You've been dealing with a couple nagging injuries this season, but from what it looks like, the team looks to be, the chemistry seems to be there. A couple hiccups here and there, but how do you feel being back?
No, it's good. It's good to be back. Like any player, you go through ups and downs with injuries, and I've had a couple this year, and you just deal with them. You know, that's part of the job. It's what we know, what we're aware of, and. We have a really deep squad where if someone's missing, the next person's ready to fill in and step in and do the job just as well. So we've been playing really well. You know, obviously we need to continue this, continue getting better and performing better, heading into playoffs and just finishing the season and a year strong.
When you get a chance to go in, right, sometimes you'll see the coaches talking to you right on the sideline right before you go in. Sometimes they have like pieces of paper they're flipping through. Do you pay attention to any of that? Are you just like, yo, let me out there and do what I do?
No, I have to pay attention to it. Believe me. Otherwise, we're going to get yelled at the next day in video.
Oh, that's right. I forget there's video of what you're doing. A lot of cameras out
there. A lot of cameras, bro. So it's always like set pieces, kind of tactical kind of stuff. And yeah, it's important to pay attention to that and, get on the field and make sure you don't skip a beat. You fill right in.
You ever look at it and be like, I'm going to do all that, but I'm also going to flex on them.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I'm going to do that, but the main reason why I'll go out there is to do my thing.
I got
to
stunt a little bit.
Exactly.
Because you are known to pull out some incredible, through balls, passes, assists.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, the creative attacking midfielder pops out of you. That's not something that they ever go through a train. Is that just something in the moment where you're like, yo, I got this?
Exactly. It's all natural after that. Just take over it.
Like, instinct takes over.
Instinct just takes over.
Well, it does seem like this season, Dome has been using the three-back system more often.
Wow.
And you and Matarrita seem to be in the midfield a lot more. So it seems like possession it seems to be more of a priority over the defending for your particular role. Yeah. Has that been like a difficult adjustment, or do you feel comfortable doing that?
It's been an adjustment. It's a lot more running than a four back, because we need to be the width as the attack, but we need to get back and we need to defend. So it was an adjustment, and we're not too much part of the build up anymore.
Okay.
In some games, we want to be the guy that's high and wide, that's always open. It's worked out well. We got a lot of freedom to attack, and that's what Tomei wants, whether it's Mata or I or Anton and now Eric.
Yeah,
so right back.
And when you were one of the first players that called into our show, so we're always very like grateful of that. But one of the things that you had mentioned was,
in other words, we stand for you.
We always appreciate that.
We're sweating your stand.
I appreciate you guys.
But you were talking about fishing, and that is very much a pastime of yours. Yeah. Have you taken any other players with you fishing? Have you sort of kind of like, and I'll say this because we went to MLS All-Star, and I did one of the airboats on the swamp. I saw gators.
Crazy, right?
Yeah, it was great. I mean, it was pretty intense.
I did not do that. I'm not going anywhere near
it. It's intense, for sure.
Have you sort of let any of the other players, have you introduced them to your lifestyle, that Florida lifestyle?
I mean, when I was down playing in Florida, yes.
Okay.
Obviously, these guys know, how avid of an angler I am. So,
angler, we got to get
angler. That's a term, angler, avid angler. So obviously, when I'm back in Florida and they're in town, if they want to get out on the boat with me,
okay.
I'll show them what it's all about. And,
invitation.
It's open.
Who
open
would invitation. Be the absolute worst angler on the team? Like, just not even accustomed to that type of life.
I'm gonna have to put Maxime Cheneau in the. No chance.
Yeah. He's very concrete, right?
He's very set in stone in his French ways.
Yes. Me and Maxime will go have cured meats. Y'all go angling.
Yeah, we'll go sip a little cup of tea or something.
Yeah, yeah. Y'all be quiet so you don't scare the fish. Him and I will be drinking heavily in the mid-afternoon.
All right. Well, man. Dude, best of luck. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Wasn't that great? Ben Sweat is awesome.
He's amazing. And first of all, thank you so much for inviting us to an event. With free food and free drinks. Can't stress it. Oh, yeah, hold on. And players. That's right. We were doing interviews.
Oh, and professional athletes.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. It's so funny. You know what it is now? It's like, we don't like to big ourselves up, but like we were talking about Philly. Like,
Wait, excuse me?
I do. were on the right camera for this. We're going to pick ourselves up right back to camera three, baby.
We do.
Right back to John Starks. But like, all right, so I like to big us up because we're amazing at what we do. But we don't necessarily need like, tons of plaudits or whatever. I'm only kidding. Please do it. But it is cool, like when fans yell out and stuff like that. But it's kind of cool that now, like some players are like know who we are. Like, Ben Sweat, we know because we did an interview with him. But we were walking by other players, like, oh look, it's the Cooligans. I'm like, it is.
Yeah. You're
our voice goes up.
You're Sean Johnson. Have we met before?
But we're on TV more than they are now. They're only on once a week. So,
sure. There's some MLS teams that are on no days a week now.
Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah,
that's kind of nice. So thank you again to NYCFC and Ben Sweat for joining us.
Yeah. Also, thank you to whoever got the cinnamon babka out in the studio. My heart is racing right now. That is amazing. What's the recipe? 7 pounds of butter, 7 pounds of sugar, and throw babka in there.
Okay.
Boy.
Again, food's a he's a big fan. So let's talk.
Big comma fan.
Let's talk about a couple things that happened over the week in women's national team news. U.S.
That's
women's
right.
national team news. Allie Krieger gets she had her 100th cap before the World Cup,
right?
But the celebration for it happened in the game that Jill Ellis's final game as well. So, but Allie Krieger,
they call it something. They're not centennial. Century? No, the centurion? Centenarian? There's
the centaur.
Yeah, she's a centaur now. But Allie Krieger, first of all, besides being an absolute incredible defender, one of my favorite soccer players of all time.
Yeah.
Friend of the show.
That's right.
Someone who we love dearly and want her on the show again.
Every day, every week.
We ask her all the time.
We told Fubo, can you put us on every single day and have Allie Krieger on each day?
I'm more than happy for her to be the third Cooligan. I think she's deserved it. No. Legitimately the funniest person we've ever had on our show.
Yes, Allie Krieger, if you haven't watched or heard our interview with her that we recorded at the United Soccer
there's
Coaches
a picture of
Convention.
Thank God I wasn't wearing that.
Tune into that. You can watch it on our YouTube YouTube channel. You can listen to the podcast.
Look how happy I look in this photo.
Wow.
I'm so excited I got to meet Alex.
I've seen your wedding photo. You're not this happy.
All right. Well, not into a camera, Christian.
You are quite excited.
Yeah. Well, there's a reason we cropped the photo where we did also.
That's not what I meant, Alexis.
No, it's I'm legitimately like, I was enthralled at how funny she was.
Yes.
Because you meet people that you admire, that you've watched in, you know, a play since you started watching, or at some point you started, you know, watching the Women's World Cup, and all of a sudden you're like, this person's amazing. And then in an interview, she's great. And then on camera and on microphone, also great. And you're like, is there anything she can't do? Yeah, invite us to her wedding.
Invite us to the wedding. That is the last thing. That is on her bucket list, I hope.
I really hope so.
The Cooligans at the Crashland wedding would really be incredible. So a couple other things going on. Let's talk about Jesse Marsh real quick, because there was a video of him that went viral of a halftime speech. This was the match. He's the coach for Red Bull Salzburg.
Yeah.
And
RB Salzburg.
RB Salzburg. So it's not, sorry. Yeah. What is it? Rasenspor?
No, that's Leipzig.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Rasenspor Ball.
Okay.
Leipzig.
This is okay. Yeah, this is they're just moving the money around. Yeah, nobody knows.
Yeah. No. It's in my left pocket right now.
We don't know who owns that team, but Salzburg. Yeah, so they during this the match against Liverpool.
Yeah,
they were. I think they were down 2-1 at halftime, and he delivered one of the, honestly, one of the most enthralling, engaging speeches I've ever seen.
Due to history, when someone's angrily yelling in a speech in German, we kind of freak out.
We get a little worried, but
Poland says, like, secure the borders. You know what I mean?
But he was doing, maybe we can call it Jurnglish.
Yeah. It was Deutschenglisch. It was like Spanglish, but German and English.
Exactly. But it was definitely like engaged. I was just like,
I don't know what half of it was, but I'm like, I'm ready to run through a wall for this dude.
Exactly. Right. And then immediately everybody's like, this should be the U.S. men's national team manager.
We've said it.
I don't know
why you wait 18 months and not get this.
I mean, look,
put out Greg Berhalter's halftime speech.
Look, Jesse Marsh's success should be, I think, just that. And Salisbury, it's a big deal.
We're on a podcast. Make it messy, Christian.
American coach that coaching the UEFA Champions League, a huge deal. You know,
is that going to help us win a World Cup?
It might.
How?
In the long run, maybe he gets that experience and then he comes.
Or maybe he convinces those German kids that are really good to say they're American. Look at the smile on his face. He's ready to make it hot. You know what I mean?
You know what was interesting? I was my girlfriend. So I was watching the halftime speech on my phone, and my girlfriend was in another room, and she heard it from the other room, and she just walked in and she said, "Is that what Hitler would sound like if he was a soccer coach?"
Jeez.
Dude, I've never laughed hard.
What you're gonna say?
She was, and that's like, if you met her, she is like the most polite, sweet person.
She doesn't say stuff like this.
She does not say stuff.
I will say this about your girl. She doesn't say much, but every once in a while, she pulls out a banger. You know what I mean? She's like, "Look what I found." We're like,
I didn't know you had that.
Where did that come from? All right.
Good for you.
Okay.
So, but yes, it was incredible. And a lot of credit to him. Even though they lost
4-3, but they came back down 3 goals to the great, and it was the best team in all of soccer.
When they tied the game, he lost his mind. He ran
out and celebrated with them. Not allowed to do that.
Yeah. But that's Klopp style. Yeah. Jurgen Klopp, at least he didn't run on center pitch.
Does the slide for the guy who scores.
All right, it's a little more low. Than Jurgen Klopp, give him credit. Impressive, even from RB Salzburg. And maybe they might get out of the group. It might be crazy, but it's not impossible.
There's a chance. I mean, it's for goal differential, they possibly can.
Exactly. There were a couple of things that we have to get to, but one of them was
we couldn't get a tan this weekend because somebody was throwing a lot of shade.
No. We have to the statue that's causing a little bit of shade.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
We have to talk about Zlatan Ibrahimovic, because he got a statue built, and you would think he would have had a statue built already.
Yeah, he seems also in his house. You think he would just have a statue?
Yeah. See, I'm sure hired somebody in LA to build one. Already for
just
him.
Put one in his bed. He's like, "I want to sleep next to myself at all times." I don't know what accent that is.
Zlatan Ibrahimovic got a statue built
in Malmo,
in Malmo,
where he's from
in Sweden. And this is It's a big deal for a lot of reasons because
it's a massive honor.
Because yeah, we don't have statues yet. We don't have bobbleheads yet, man.
Yo, come on, Nork. Give me a statue. Yo, we need a statue for Reggie Noble, aka Redman, and for me. Am I allowed to ask for my own statue? It seems kind of tacky.
I mean, as far as when it comes to Newark, yeah, I think it's how it works. Yeah. You know, you ask for a statue, you grease the right palms, but yeah,
look at Slotza. Look how happy he is with his statue.
Yeah, but the reason this is a big deal is because Slotza,
he's naked. The statue is practically naked, and they gave him...
It is weird. He has no shoes.
They gave the statue a very large bulge, okay? Did he meet Ali Krieger just before the statue was made?
But look, the statue is a little strange because he looks like he's like he just stepped out of a Russian bathhouse,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
He's in these weird shorts that are like...
It looks like the police woke him up.
He's like, what do you want?
Oh, hands are up. What do you want?
What do you want from me? I'm not doing it. But Zlatan has always talked about, and the reason he is as arrogant as he is, mm-hmm. is because he talks about how difficult it was being, you know, his parents are like,
he's not Swedish.
He's not Swedish. Like
he's Swedish born. But he doesn't have a Swedish heritage.
Exactly. So his parents are from one from Bosnia and Herzegovina, yeah. and mom, I think, from Croatia.
Oh, so you could just be from three countries now. That's pretty great.
So there's a lot of bloodlines there. But he talked about how the difficulty and racism that he had to like deal with.
Yeah, he has like the darker hair, the bigger nose. He got made fun of for all those things growing up. So he built that thick outer skin, which you could see on the statue. most of it, actually. He built that over years of sort of being ridiculed.
Exactly. And now he has a statue in Sweden, right? Yeah. Where he's from. So it's a big deal for him. And yeah, some people may feel he's a big old asshole, but he did big old, why'd I say it that way?
Yeah.
But
can we cut that out so I can have that?
Some people feel he's a prolapsed asshole.
Some people, he's kind of a gape. You know?
Anyway, I mean, you decide where you fall on that.
Whichever one you want.
But it is a big deal. So congrats to him, at least to that, getting a statue made. Anyway, last thing we wanted to talk about was another gay bit. No, I'm kidding. Let's talk about a recent clip that was going around of James Corden.
Yeah.
He was criticizing streaming services.
This is that hard-hitting comedy they do on
hey,
the James Corden
stop
show.
Punching down, yeah. James Corden.
Come on.
But look, he did criticize streaming platforms. We are on one. So yeah.
He seemed to have leaned in a little hard on Fubo.
He did. So let's go right to that.
We are proposing no more new streaming services. Okay? We're fine. We're fine. There's Netflix, Hulu, Vudu, VRV, Pluto, Disney Plus, YouTube TV, Amazon Prime, HBO Go, HBO Now, HBO Max, Quibi, Fubo, Wingbat, Zaza. There are so many streaming services. I made up those last two and you didn't even notice. Not the last three. No. Fubo is a real thing. People actually pay for. What do they show? I have no Fuboing idea. Okay?
Say our name. Say our name right to our face, you coward.
Say, unreal.
Oh.
Yo, all of a sudden we get on Fubo and all of this James Corden stuff comes out. I don't know if I feel like they're connected a little bit.
Also, James Corden is from England and happens to be a soccer fan. How you not know what Fubo is?
Wow. What are you watching your soccer games on?
Yeah, where are you watching West Ham lose every game? On what service is that?
Exactly.
Because I know one that's pretty inexpensive, gives you all your cable channels, your local channels, us as well.
All right.
It's called Fubo.
Fubo TV. Go to Fubo.tv/Cooligans and register, sign, and subscribe.
Yeah, and quit being a Fuboing jerk. You're being a bit of a gape right now. I'm not going to lie to you.
You know what? And I'm a fan of James Corden. I like his show. I like Carpool Karaoke.
Oh, I always wonder myself, what do people who sing for a living look like singing in a car with a British guy? I've always wondered that.
It's a fun bit.
It's a fun bit.
That they've done
sure.
40,000 times.
Yeah. Yeah, Migos was the best one.
Migos with the
money,
money
and then they take him shopping. It's a good one. It's a good bit.
It's a good show, okay? Yeah. The J-Lo
Why
one?
Don't we take you sandwich shopping? We'll do Subway karaoke. That's all the budget we got at Fubo right now.
But you know, look, I don't know, whatever. I don't know. It's just that this premise of like no more streaming services. It's like, bro,
I know. Actually, I agree with him. No more streaming services. All you need is Fubo.
Get rid of the rest of them.
Shouts to the team.
You know what? No more CBS. Cancel that thing. Yeah. Who needs it?
Do you got cinnamon vodka in your studio? I don't think so.
Exactly. But yeah, you know what? Like all love. Right. Well, you know, we got to roast them a little bit. And we know people who work on James Corden's
That's
show.
That's right. And they got nasty texts. Okay.
So you guys are on warning. Yeah. So enough of this, you know, anti-Fubo stuff.
Right.
And, you know, he didn't need to Fubo so much.
There's three HBOs. You gotta show shade over here.
All right. So look, like I don't know if we'll fight James Corden the next time we see him.
I'm willing to, if you want.
But we'll be polite and kind. But hopefully, we're expecting an apology. That's all we're saying. So all right, another one in the books.
Come on, baby. I mean, who does it better than us? Nobody, especially not James Corden.
Just a little reminder. Okay.
Our arch nemesis.
We have a new enemy. And we're going to, you know, our lives are now dedicated to challenging him at every opportunity.
You know, there's some people who watch that segment on Fubo. I'm just thinking about that right
They're
now.
They're like, I don't know. It seems to work fine to watch your show.
Working right now.
Thank you again for listening. Make sure you follow us, support, follow us on Twitter.
Yeah, join Gully Squad, which is also a fun time.
Yeah, join Gully Squad. And also watch the show on Thursday, 8 p.m. We're going to be joined by
Yael and Gloria Averbush.
A good time. Yes.
It's pretty dope.
Techni football. You know, they just involved in soccer for years. It's just a great, great duo.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to the episode. We just want to break in with a word from one of our sponsors, us and you.
That's right. Always supporting us, Gully Squad.
Oh, you're the best.
You know, you guys have been with us for a while now. And we're going to be doing a lot of things, growing the show, growing the podcast. And you guys are a huge, huge part of that.
Absolutely. And the guests that we have coming up next, they answer questions that we got directly from Gully Squad.
Exactly.
So you become a part of the show. You help us curate some of the questions that we're asking. You guys give us ideas. You guys are always helping us out. And also all the money that you're paying that goes to this all goes back into the show. It's what helps us to go travel, like we were in Philly this weekend. It helps us go places. It's amazing and it goes a long way, and we love for you to become a bigger part of the show.
Exactly. So all you got to do is go to soccercooligans.com and click on Gully Squad. It's right at the top on the menu, and we're going to be doing a couple new things for our Gully Squad members, so look out for new things.
Maybe
new
we
gifts
got some gifts coming up.
Maybe celebrate this whole old TV thing.
Absolutely.
Because you guys definitely helped us get here. So again, if you guys want to be a part of that, you know, also FIFA 20 just came out. If you guys want to play Alexis or I in FIFA 20,
come out. Let me find out.
Exactly. You got to join Gully Squad. That's one of the perks. So go to soccercooligans.com and click on Gully Squad right there on the menu and join at whatever level you like, whatever you feel comfortable
with.
We'll
love you forever.
Exactly. Forever. We are back. Welcome, everybody. We're absolutely stoked and excited to be joined by the guest that we have today.
Guest of honor.
This is our first pair of guests at the same time. So now we're going to be juggling quite a bit. I don't know how difficult it's going to be for us.
I think we'll be fine because they could carry this conversation on their own if they wanted to.
They don't even need us here.
No, they don't. This is absolutely amazing. We've got published authors, professional runners, professional soccer player, app creators. It's only two people. It's a lot. Ladies and gentlemen, unless you're driving, put your hands together for the one, the only, the two, the only, Yael and Gloria Averbush, everybody.
Hello, guys.
Hi. Very nice. Hi. We'll clap.
Yeah. Please. Yeah.
Thank you so much for being here, both of you. And I just want to let everyone know, because Yael, you've been on the show before, because we interviewed you at the United Soccer Coaches Convention. And then a couple months after that, we met your mother at an event
preparedness for like when you get out of the game.
Exactly.
For players that are near
retirement.
And
your mom was there and she was So awesome.
The best.
So charming. And we were like,
I remember we came up to you and your sister. Remind me your sister's name.
Shira. Yeah, we were mortified.
Yeah. And I was like,
she let me off the leash. Right. And I made friends.
We
with
let
you.
Her out of our sight for 1 second. And then she was over there talking. Yeah.
I said, I go, hey, I was talking to your mother over by the bar. And both of you went, oh no.
It's a terrifying thing to say. I was talking to your mother by the bar. I'm like, it's an emergency.
Your mom is trash.
Yeah. You don't see her dancing on the bar? No, it was amazing and also very complimentary. Like, no, you were very supportive of what we do, which, by the way, no one in our family.
No. Well, you've got mothers too. But let me just say, it was so joyous because soccer, it's mostly very serious. So I spent a lifetime on the sidelines. I spent a lifetime writing about it, and it's beautiful and it's deep and it's inspiring. Funny? Not so much. Not so much. And I left there saying, God, this can be fun.
Oh, she was talking about you guys for days.
Yeah, and I am singing your praises. Yes.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah. That's very, very sweet. We were, after we met you, we were talking about, I'm like, it'd be awesome to have them both on the show. Oh, just so, you know, because of the energy, the Gloria energy was just incredible. And also to embarrass Yael a little bit.
Oh, boy, that's going to be.
Working.
It's
not so bad yet. It's
We've
not
got
so bad
the
yet.
Famous and the infamous, or about to be.
There you go.
Yeah.
So now, my first question is, what was Gloria like on the sideline?
She was under strict regulations. This is the thing.
There was a no-fly zone?
I would be playing. You know how most kids have trouble playing because, like, their parents are yelling instructions or, like, they're hearing something from the coach and they can't focus? I would hear my mom, like, talking and laughing and, like, I'd hear, like, cackling on the side. It was so distracting. So she knew, like, I can't hear you during
the
game.
You're like, Mom, please, yell at the coach.
Golf clap.
And but go for it.
No, I just want to say.
You're allowed to defend yourself.
No, I have to say to all the soccer moms out there, since I'm clearly the first one here, I know we're just seen as the, like, orange slice giving women who have no life and we're completely involved with our kids. On the other hand, it's a great way to raise kids.
Yeah.
I have to say. And look, they made a career of it. That's a beautiful thing.
My mother was very hands off, meaning she didn't care. You know, like that was a big.
Look what you became.
Yeah. Different time,
right?
Different style.
Look at us, just two pillars of society here.
She was only hands on when she was smacking them across the head.
That's how we've talked about this. That's how Latin moms get education and learning in your brain. They hit you with their hand, open hand only.
So, the point that you just made about how it's helpful in raising children, what are those tenets? What are those important values that soccer does offer in raising children?
Okay.
That stand out to you.
By the way, the most serious question I ever asked on our show. Sorry.
Oh, no. Yeah. It's all right because I like to expound on this. So everything that you want to provide in every forum and every lesson happens sort of as a microcosm while they're playing. So yes, it's great when it's wonderful and they're successful and that's easy to say how wonderful and hug them. But the really hard moments, and when you're living in them, as I did, they were excruciatingly difficult. I hated to send my kid off to one of those ID camps and get the phone call that the coach said I'm no good or I'm not playing and feel her suffering.
It pretty much never happened, though, with me.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know what you're talking about.
I made all the teams.
Didn't even have my mother's number.
Yeah. Didn't need it.
When I reflect on all the deepest values that you want to be able to provide, whether it's strength, character, generosity, sympathy, resilience. And of course, as athletes, our whole family feels strongly about identifying with the values of being and caring about your body and being physically fit. But all of those values get kind of really emphasized. They're very dramatic in your life. So not to be cynical, but instead of the kid that goes off to the mall and hangs out and learns to grow up that way or be a teenager, we have the opportunity, as every player you'll ever have here, as a mother or a father, or even in your life, someone formative, we have the opportunity to see those things defined right in front of us and use them as a vehicle. And I have a very strong opinion and a very strong belief that my children grew up to be great human beings. And a lot of it was made, you know, between the lines.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned five things that I've never been told in my life. You health.
Talking to the wrong guy.
You,
resilience.
conversation.
Look, I mean, you're sitting in between yin and yang, basically. I mean, the mall, I had the streets, but it was very...
mentor you if you'd like.
Yeah, honestly. I mean, you're
she'll
a professional
She'll
runner.
Cook your meals. Yeah. She'll
yes. some
My heart will burst if I run to that door. Mine around the block.
Well, I'm curious about that. Maybe that the flip side of that. Yael, it sounds like your mom had a very maybe... a defined way of how to sort of view the world, parenthood. Did it feel, I guess my question is like, was it super overbearing? Was it too difficult? Was it too much pressure?
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, I was very fortunate and I am very fortunate. My parents are like, they've been awesome. And they, I mean, they're certainly very involved. And we even joke now. I'm like, Mom, I got to move out. I'm 33 and I'm like living at home every chance I get. She's cooking me my meals. This morning, actually, I had moved into a new apartment. I didn't have my morning coffee that she usually makes me. So I was like in a panic. Oh, but no, but really, I'm very lucky to have like the kind of support where basically it was, I was leading the way, but then they would be the first to be like, okay, I'll drive you there. Or, okay, you need a snack. We'll make you the snack to take on the road. So, yeah, I mean, people thought we were psycho for sure when I was growing up. Like, I can only imagine what people thought. But actually, like, I'm probably the psycho. And they were just, like, trying to deal with me. I'd come home crying because I didn't do the step over right. I don't even know what it was. And then they had to, like, handle it. Mm. So, yeah, I'm probably, I joke that she does embarrass me.
But
she really
I'm
going to
tell
me,
you
but...
a true story. This is symbolic of the whole deal. So I went through two kids.
She's like, two drug dealers walking around. No. And we're like, oh my God.
Listen, this is you, soccer. More fights than you had in school.
Yeah.
No, there were. Cops came, everything. But the true story is after all those years of youth soccer times two, this is true. Last club came, end of high school, end of career, second child about to be all done. Carrying the lawn chair, sturdy lawn chair. Thank you, Walmart. Yeah. Unfold the lawn chair, sit down. Swear to God, it busts. I fall flat on my ass. Last game. Talk about symbolism.
That
You're
was the last
done,
game.
Baby. Yeah. You're done. Your chair is done. But all four corners busted.
Really?
I sat flat on my butt. I mean, could you get like a symbolic thing?
How weak was this chair? That would have burst that thing first game.
Oh, no, they were holding out. I had all that duct tape going, man. I was going to make it to the end. It's very tense. It's embarrassing. I don't want you to think, since the first part of this, I sounded like perfection. Yeah. We were screwed
you
up,
like
those
perfection,
parents.
Mom. That's kind of arrogant. Yeah.
No. We were messed up.
I was just saying that in my head. I'm like,
we were like doing things that you look at those people with the wide open mouth screaming. It was embarrassing. Yeah. I mean, that sometimes we were over the top.
So now in a more professional setting, one good thing is she's up in the suite, right?
Oh,
up in the
family. Oh, yeah. You can't hear her anymore. Well, and hopefully this is like the goal of women's soccer, to have enough people in the stands that you can't hear
your
mom's conversation.
Shouts NWSL work on that.
Yeah, that's where you
goal.
See the progress.
Yeah.
When you can't
the
hear
sellouts
them.
This year have finally got to the point where like you can't hear your parents' conversations. So it's really good for important for the players.
We saw your daughter and your sister at the Sky Blue FC game, which happened. The first one that happened at Rebel Arena. From someone who's been in NWSL for a while, I know you're still working with the players association.
Yeah.
How does that feel to see what's happening now? And do you think, is this just a post-World Cup bump, or do you think this can keep going?
Yeah, well, you know, it's really cool for me, especially. I actually started my professional career at Sky Blue. And I feel in my job with the Players Association, obviously, I have a professional role, and I want the league to do well, and I want to see those kind of things. But for me personally, being from New Jersey, having that be my first professional club, like seeing the team get to play in Red Bull Arena and the crowd that came, it's like emotional for me. So I think we got to keep it going, certainly. There's always going to be a bump after a big tournament, after the World Cup. We saw it last time. This is different, though, I think. I think we've hit some kind of threshold where it's really caught on, and people are... you know, the whole we won't stop watching hashtag. Yeah. I think it's true. People have committed now to watching this game. So, you know, we were just at Sky Blue's last home game at Red Bull. My mom was there with me. And it's important to see it. It feels professional. And that's really what we want. We want this to feel professional. We want there to be crowds. There were crowds filtering in, kids playing and tailgating. That's the kind of feel we want for these games.
Well, it was great when we went to that first game at Red Bull Arena. the amount of just children so excited to see their favorite players and see Carly Lloyd and see Ali Long and all that stuff like that. It's difficult to not get emotional because you realize, oh, they don't get this opportunity very often because maybe, it was a Yerkak field might be just too far for them and stuff like that. So it was a good feeling. I did have another question. This was from one of our Gully Squad members. I thought it was a pretty good question. This is from Mike Thomas. He said, to Yao, he said, how do the U.S. Women's National Team players reconcile the balance between serving their national team and doing what's best for the USA program? So that basically the crux of the question is based on how Rose Lavelle, she recently couldn't play a NWSL game for the Washington Spirit because she was involved in a FIFA gala. So kind of that balance, like the women's national team does so much for the popularity of the sport, but does that affect the growth of the actual league sometimes?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at how soccer's set up all over the world, the club team is your place. Yeah. That's your team. And then you go and the national team's extra. It's an extra honor. We've, for a long time here in the U.S., which is a testament to our success, the national team has been the pinnacle. It's been everything. And there's been times where we didn't have a professional league. So the national team had to set up programming, had to have like long training camps, residency programs. And that was everything for these players. We're just starting to see the shift of now the club teams, you know, we're seeing players identified from those club teams to play for the national team. And the league has been around for 7 years. So it's here. Like, yeah, we don't need to worry about it like we had in the past. So I think it's a tough balance, but really it's not up to the players to balance that. They should be helped by both the national team and the league in the programming and the scheduling in order to make sure that most of the national team games are during the FIFA windows. So, you know, they're not missing anything. To go to, you know, the gala and be named one of the best players in the world is an important thing. Obviously, that's a tough thing. And celebrating the World Cup and the victory tour, obviously, it's interrupting the season a little bit. But these are really important things for the women's game. So I think the national team players' service to our country on that stage is helping the league, even if they're not present with their clubs.
I think it's most notable now after the Women's World Cup, the World Cup that just happened this year, is it seems to me like the women's team moves the needle forward for the entire sport in the country. The men's team sometimes moves the needle back. But it seems like as the women succeed, the sport as an entirety succeeds in this country. So it's almost like you have this dual duty that you have to do, is to support the your club, obviously, right? But you also have to support the entire game because it still feels like it's teetering a little bit. You know, I don't know. I'm not sure what's caused this bump or what's caused this sort of new excitement in the game, but it seems to me like the more outspoken some of the women are, it seems like they get a bit more sort of ability to be on news pieces. And when they speak out, everyone listens. How does that equate? Do you see that from someone who's on the inside, or do you think that's just us from the outside watching?
Oh no, certainly. I mean, they've set the bar and they've raised the bar themselves. They've set it again and again. And I think this time was huge for a lot of reasons. And they've transcended, you know, you look at a Megan Rapinoe is a cultural icon.
Yeah.
And I mean, and this is my friend and my teammate for many years. And for a long time, we always saw her as this person, but she was a soccer player. And now she has transcended that. And I think a lot of those players have become something greater for the sport and for women's equality and a lot of things like that. My challenge and my goal personally with the NWSL Players Association is, okay, they've set the bar here. How do we bring up everyone else? Because, well, across the world, there's serious inequality between men's and women's sports. Yeah. We also have a gap within our league of these women who are the very best in the world and are celebrities now. And then some other players who literally can't make ends meet, who are their teammates, starters next to them on the field.
It's hard for me to reconcile why one can only transcend universally in the women's game with being outspoken or political, which is great. I mean, look at the NBA right now and how much attention something like that gets.
Yeah.
But the irony is, if that's not who you are, where is your universal notice? If a man is like a Messi or, you know, Cristiano Ronaldo, they just got to keep their mouth shut.
Yeah.
And so it's just like an interesting dilemma. I applaud the fact that, I mean, Megan Rapinoe could obviously be president as far as I'm concerned right now.
Turns out we all can.
Yeah.
Right on. Good one.
Yeah. But is that what it's going to take? is there something about needing to find another form in which to make yourself famous?
That is a great point, though. Like, how come it's not just what you do on the field that gets you the notoriety?
Yeah, it's still that sort of 99 Women's World Cup phenomena where it worries me that you get a big splash of attention and then you ask a legitimate question. How is it sustained? Is the attention that we're seeing just a bump? It worries me how you keep that pitch that high, so to speak, the level that high.
So you were mentioning sort of that pressure that that women's soccer players may feel about having to be sort of outspoken. As far as do you feel like there is a I guess in my mind, like Megan Rapinoe is being wildly outspoken so that somebody else doesn't have to, like in the future. Like,
she's like, right. She's what, 34. She might not play in a World Cup. So she could take the hit.
Like, at least as far as the progress, do you think that women's soccer players are getting less outspoken than before, or do they have to be more to like get those gains to move it further than or move the needle further?
Yeah, I think the platform is simply bigger. And I think that like what Megan Rapinoe has said over and over, she has strong beliefs about things going on in our country that she sees that are not right. And she feels like with her platform, which has gotten bigger, that is her responsibility. Yeah. I don't think every player feels a responsibility to do that, but certainly we're at the point still with women's sports where, like we said, it might not be good enough to just do what you do on the field and be the best in the world. Literally, they're the best in the world. Like, you also have to have a fashion line, or you have to look a certain way, or have this, whatever else to get that attention. So I think that it's simply, I think with Megan Rapinoe, she's a unique case. She has specific statements that she wants to make. And I think now she has the platform to make them. And she's done an amazing and inspirational job of doing that.
You know, sports don't automatically teach you or inculcate the idea that you're going to have views and be outspoken.
Slow down. You're on a show with two comedians here. None of us have ever read a book.
Well, at least I
have. One of us has never read a book.
But I didn't curse yet. Yeah,
how do I know that? I don't know that for sure.
That can be a horrible word in my brain.
Yeah. Inculcate. What'd you call my mother?
That was Spanish for I'm doing okay. Yo, how's it going?
Glory.
Yeah. Well, if you look at the wide swath of NBA players, you're going to get a LeBron James who's socially conscious. But here you have women's soccer, and it's a little bit like deer in front of the headlights. Yale's correct, Megan Rapinoe. This is who she is. But that's kind of like you need a wide population of people in order to pluck the ones that are going to be socially conscious. And I kind of think it's a burden. Yael's right. You got to be fashionable. You can't say the wrong thing.
This is actually a point that we've made with some, soccer players in the past, in particular women's soccer player, and mostly off mic because we don't want to put anyone in a position where they say something or they feel uncomfortable being asked. But it does seem like sometimes you kind of got to have to get it lit on Instagram if you're going to get, like, it seems like sometimes if you have a more popping Instagram account, maybe you make more money. Maybe you get the endorsements. Maybe you get the longer contract because
Gloria,
it's great to have you.
How's popping?
Yeah, what's popping on your IG? What's this up? IG check. Let's pull up.
GMA verb. GMAVERB.
Okay.
Yeah.
She only has like, I think she likes all my pictures, but I think she only has like two of her own.
Oh yeah.
She's a supporter on Instagram, not as much as a poster.
No.
Yeah, my mother does
hieroglyphic.
Every once in a while, my mother will send me a DM like, "What did you say about me?" And I'm like,
"She knows how to DM though." That's
yeah.
Good.
But I'm like,
"She
how
knows what DM means." No.
Yeah. It means to inculcate. Everybody knows that.
I'm so sorry. All right,
I'm gonna look it up later.
We're gonna take a photo, and hopefully you will post this photo of your time.
Yes.
Might not
to all negative two followers. Yeah.
You gotta help her. Yeah.
What is speaking of Instagram and apps and whatnot? You have an app. We've talked about Techne Football. How's that going?
Going very well. I was gonna offer to you guys. I know you talk a lot about soccer. You joke how you're not necessarily soccer players.
Huh.
This could be your start.
Okay. You know,
we have players as young as 6 years old using the app to train all the way through pro players. So, like, all levels. I mean, you guys have to fit in there somewhere.
Okay, I want to start at the 6-year old level. Yeah.
So.
Is there something below that?
There's a level down option for a lot of the drills.
Yeah.
A couple level downs if you need.
All right.
Oh, cool. Does the app know if you're doing the drills or not?
You have to be self-aware.
Okay.
Yeah. And you have to.
Good.
It's an honor system a little bit, so
yeah, I'd love to because I watch your Instagram videos and you still practice regularly and you're bouncing the ball off the wall and it's just like it's just it, the game clearly is not, you know, it doesn't leave you. You know what I mean? There's always something that you can improve on.
You're like a retired army vet who still cleans his gun. Just like,
you
know what I mean?
You never know.
That is one analogy I want. Okay.
You never know when you're going to need it. Somebody kicks a soccer ball at you. That's still get
scarily accurate.
But it has been cool to see. I know you just recently posted, I guess, the number of subscribers or like you hit a milestone. Yeah. So what does it sort of mean to be able to reach that many people and help people improve their game?
Yeah, well, the app actually just reached 3 years since we launched it. And
that's awesome.
I always joke because I did not know what a business was before I started this. I was like, okay, I'm going to make these weekly training sessions. I'll schedule out like 3 years in advance and it'll just like run. So for me to look back and say like, this has been 3 years of work. Like I thought, okay, I'm, you know, my playing career, I know what it is to work hard, run fitness and stuff. This is like another world of work. Things I didn't even know these were jobs, like doing things like sales and all the, I don't even know, product management, everything. She sees it.
No, let me like, brag. She didn't like, you've been working for 26 countries in every state. I mean, that's every powerful.
Yeah. I bring my powerful. Mom to brag for me.
Yeah.
Marketing.
She's your hype woman.
Yeah. No, the app is doing awesome. And it's really, it's rewarding to see these players who they're all who I was when I was a kid. Like I literally made what I would have wanted to use as a kid. But I always joke with my mom because my mom, she's awesome. She thinks I'm good at everything. Like literally. There are some things I'm good. But she's like, yeah, oh, you're good at dancing. In second grade, you could walk on the line like straight when none of the kids would. I'm like, Mom, I'm terrible.
Mother told you to dance. I'm terrible. My mother's like, you're embarrassing the family. I'm like, Ma, put the microphone down at my wedding. What are you doing?
But Yael writes these beautiful things about her relationship with the soccer ball and playing on her own and how much it means to her
this
and how
accurate, Brad.
Even in times of distress or sadness or like if you don't make a team or what, she always had that ability to then go to a wall, find a place. And even if it was through tears for some reason, she could the comfort of knocking the ball
like
against
meditation.
The wall.
Right.
Yeah. And so I think when you live that and feel that, you communicate that. And that's what I think the app is basically about.
I did the same thing. No, when I was going through tough times as a teenager, I would find a wall and there's no cops around. I would write stuff on it.
It's the wall.
I knew
the
there walls was are an analogy. Useful. Whoops. An wall. Analogy right. coming
it's
here.
My grammar.
Yeah. 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 You can find me at inculcate on the wall.
Never gonna let tag. Me live that
I
down.
Have no clue what it
I'll
means.
Be in the old age home and I'll be getting these calls.
It's kind of like eating away at me.
Yeah.
No, don't start. I'm not going the vocabulary like, room. Yeah, you know, like, yeah. Integrate.
Yeah.
Good. Well, make I do, it part of your fiber of your being.
I go to pizza shops and inculcate some pizza.
I knew you'd find a That's food a analogy. You got to find a food.
Christian, if you're ever on vacation, we're bringing Glory in as a co-host.
You see, that day at that event where they let me off the leash, was it not worth
yeah,
it?
Absolutely. You wouldn't be
gotten here. Gotten off that leash, baby. Whoa.
Communication seems to be a very important part of the Averbush family, right? And your post and they are well written. Clearly, your mom must have had an influence, right? And
some inspiration.
Gloria, you are a published author. We have a book right here in front of us that I believe this is a gift for us.
This is a gift because for the you're very childlike in a good way. One of my soccer books is a children's book. Very sweet with a moral. Many of them are based off incidences that I saw in all the years my kids played soccer. But the thing about soccer that I want to say is what makes you curious once you delve in, this is what you do to kind of bring out and discuss what it is that moves you, makes you laugh, is funny, occupies you. I saw so much going on that I did start to write books about it because it fascinated me. And I thought, what better way to understand what my children are passionate about? And so the book I wrote with Anson Dorrance called The Vision of a Champion, you're going to love this story, heartstrings, I think. So I went in the locker room when he gave one of his talks right before I signed the contract to write a book with him. And he finished reading a letter from a player. And he folded up the letter, and to this single elimination, it was an NCAA tournament, and he said, now go out and play as if it were your last time, because one day it will be. I cried for 15 minutes.
The players were probably fine. She was just
I went into the stands and I
cried.
Who's that old woman over there? But then we wrote a great, wonderful book together, which I'm happy to say just came out in its, I think, third or fourth printing. And it's done very well, because when someone such as a coach or someone key to the game can articulate the way my dear daughter can, it means a lot to a lot of people.
That's awesome.
And you guys are here articulating in your own funny, in entertaining way.
It's interesting that you call what Alexis does articulate.
Oh, sorry. Another word I should. Let me dumb it down. Absolutely. He's just putting it out there.
Articulating, I've heard before, because people say, you don't. You know, people know what I'm saying. You know? And this book is called A Turn for Lucas.
Yes.
And this is something that you saw. This was.
Yes. And
Lucas turning to hard drugs. What happened?
Well, no. It's a sweet story about twins, and the girl is very much modeled on Yael, who juggles the ball around the dinner table. And it's about, you know, kids learning to support the kid who they always stick in the goal, who has a shining moment.
Call that the fat kid. That's where I got stuck.
Boy, you're obsessed with it. Yeah.
That's where I got stuck. Everyone's like, Alexis is in goal. I'm like,
now this is for you, because he's the hero of the story.
Nice.
Oh, perfect.
He's the hero of the story. And it's a beautiful thing where kids, you know, Yael was once on a boys' team, a girl, a Puerto Rican kid, four black kids, and believe me,
into a bar.
Yeah, walk into
and
a bar.
Play dance. No excuse.
Play white bread youth soccer. Yeah. That was an adventure, and so I wanted something about all kinds of kids, because it's still a really one dimensional kind of. I don't want to use that word. Too big. I was going to say heterogeneous.
He's keeping them in the chamber.
That's the coldest stuff that's ever been said.
You made me so self-conscious.
On this damn show. Oh, that word too big for you. Three syllables. I can't pull that.
Four.
No. I don't want you to faint.
Yeah. I didn't even know it could get that high.
Well, you also wrote a book about nutrition and.
Oh, should I just leave? I mean.
I'm kicked off.
Why am I even here?
Pick on Alexis. Yeah, yeah.
My girlfriend is a nutritionist, so it was like very. I want to read the book just to hear the sort
there
of
it is, food guide for women's soccer.
Yeah,
the sort of that the angle on nutrition and soccer. When I play soccer, right, I don't know what the hell to eat before the game. Do I eat something to prepare? Do I not eat anything at all? Sometimes
SpaghettiOs. And then it flushes your system and you're lighter than everyone.
Oh, boy. Great. Well, yeah. Well, I mean, you're the one who lived with all this idea of the nutrition since you were young when it began. And I saw the players get really exhausted before the game was over, having tried four donuts as their pregame meal.
Hell yeah.
So, like, what do you think?
Nice light meal.
Well, you should probably not listen to this advice, but I think most nutrition for soccer, it's like people think of eating less or dieting. It's like you actually have to fuel your body.
I agree.
So it's what you put into your body. Yeah, see.
I'm carbo loading for a race. I'm never going
to
run.
It's better to eat pizza or donuts than nothing before the game. And I think that's what people are like, well, I should eat a salad. Like, no, you need energy.
Particularly in the women's game, you know, that chicken breast with no skin and a salad with no dressing, and everyone thought that was the best way to eat.
Healthy,
and,
but not
you know, Anson was great about this. He used to say, why do all the women I coach want to be smaller and not take up space, and the men I've coached want to be big and powerful and take up space? It's a great metaphor. You'd love this idea. Eat up, baby. You're about to run on the field for 90 minutes.
You have to run on the field.
You bring me a baby, I mean.
It's in her book. Yeah. I don't know.
I'm following Gloria.
Go for twins, man. Go for twins.
You said you didn't want this one.
You know, and that maybe raises another question, because especially in women's soccer, there tends to be body issues or body dysmorphia.
Terrible.
What is the sort of the challenges that women face as far as like finding what the quote unquote right body type is to play the game?
I mean, I think it's like focusing on performance rather than what you look like or what you feel like. What do you need to do in the gym to be the most explosive athlete? If it makes your thighs look bigger, you're going to get to the ball first. So I think like that's the thing, is what makes you perform well. And usually it's not losing weight or being slimmer, like having a model's body. It's having strong muscles. Like you look at Messi's thighs are like this, but like no woman really wants to look like that. So I think there's a balance, and you'll hear players say like, oh, I don't want to lift too much, I don't want to bulk up. But like, if you, some players need to lift more, and you'll appreciate that. I don't know if this is gonna get him in trouble, but actually Anson Dorrance in college, you'll think it's funny. He knew he wasn't supposed to talk to players directly about their weight because it's very sensitive. Yeah. So he said, oh, well, I have a solution. I'll get around it. I'll tell you, more pizza or less pizza. And so that's what you literally tell players. Right, yeah. You unfortunately might've heard less pizza. Yeah. But like,
you don't know that. I'm trying to thicken up.
Performance.
THICC.
You're a role model for those women who don't eat.
Exactly.
And,
yeah. I'll be the don't. I'll sit there and be like, this is what happens if you don't listen to the pizza advice. But also, I think this is like, you know, with like the Sports Illustrated body, you know, where you get these women that are very, very strong and very athletic and they have like abs and stuff and big thighs, but it looks sexy. You know what I mean? Maybe that takes that sort of pressure away from trying to be thinner.
But even that, like not everybody does have a six pack. Like some people's. Like,
tell me about it. You,
like some really good players just are never going to be like cut like that. And right. I would say men, it's a little different. Like I would always joke because women need a long time to get in shape for preseason. Then we'd have our college men's team and they'd be like, oh yeah, preseason, I got to start running next week. We have the like beat test.
Just eating
Funyuns. Like, what do you mean next week? Like it would take me 6 months to get in shape for that. And then like 2 days, the guys get fit. So it's just, it's harder.
Oh, 2 days? That's all it takes? Yeah, I'll give it a try. Well, listen, this has been an absolute honor to have both of you guys
Thank
on.
Thank you so much.
Where could everyone follow you guys on social media? You and you know, Yael, you tell us where you can follow both of you.
Just send Yael a message to me and she'll tell me what you said.
No, she looks at all my social media. So if you want to comment below mine, my name,
best way to contact
Averbush. If you want it, you put a comment. My mom will read all the comments. She'll respond in there maybe. I'll show her how to respond.
Okay, perfect. Yeah.
You know what joie de vivre is? You know what?
Yes,
this
I
is
do.
It.
That I know.
This is it here. This really it
awesome.
Is.
Awesome. If you don't know what that means if you're scared, get a dog.
Real quick, I just had a question from a Gully Squad member. Who does Ajax love more, Yael or Aaron? Your dog.
Oh, well, like Aaron's his person because I didn't want a dog. So nice. I didn't tell Ajax, I hope you're not listening. No, but I was like, we can't get a dog. But if we get a dog, you take it out, you do whatever. So I love Ajax when he's cuddly, whatever. And then I'm like, Aaron, your dog needs to go out. So then that's how it works.
Thank you, Danielle, for the question. Guys, thank you so much. Thanks. This has been an absolute honor.
Thank
you. Huge fans of both of you and continued success.
Same here. Both.
They were great.
How fun was that?
Come on, just, Gloria, Yael.
Gloria,
Jesus.
Just running the show.
Yeah,
outshined us.
I can't wait till we're guests on their podcast.
That should be coming soon. Yeah. So again, thank you to them. Let's talk about a couple of things before we wrap the show.
Yeah.
A couple of subjects. We have to talk about, so Decision Day happened on October 6th and the last match day for Major League Soccer.
Shouts to the Portland Timbers who won.
They did win and knocked out the San Jose Earthquakes.
Right. Who I think you were the one who said they were going to go to MLS Cup and what a dummy Christian is, right?
What a ridiculous thing for me to say over and over on across several episodes.
Yeah. And honestly, I'm never going to forgive him for it.
How do you feel now that you were wildly wrong?
Well, here's the thing. I said they could win MLS Cup. We'll never know.
You didn't say what year.
No. Also, they're not going to play in it this year. So who knows if they could have won or not. But they might have lost their coach too. It's a tough one. They capitulation, right? That's the the word. You completely falter towards the end of the season. That's what's going to happen to you, and it's a real shame.
The one thing that's stood out in this particular match, actually the news after the match was with Brian Fernandez. Brian Fernandez has, similar to Adama Diomande, had entered the substance abuse protocol.
The rumor is, or what's being reported is that, you know, the team is aware of this ahead of time.
Yes.
And there's something in his contract that sort of stipulates if this happens.
Yeah, because I believe he had like drug related issues that he's just in the past that he's like kind of battling with, and he volunteered himself into the substance abuse. So I hope he is doing okay. I hope he recovers, and obviously I know Timbers fans would want him and in the playoffs, and hopefully he is back sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
But I also hope
he sort of gets a chance to get the help that he needs.
Exactly.
That's super important, and it's something that we're very sort of open about here. If you need the help, get it.
Exactly. I tell Alexis all the time.
Drug am I doing? Look at me.
Help for a lot of different things. Not necessarily drugs. Anyway, let's talk about the MLS Cup playoffs that are coming up. The brackets are set.
That's it. They're done.
We
also didn't talk about LAFC breaking the points record.
That's right.
And Carlos Vélez breaking the goals record.
Yeah.
They're just destroying everything left and right. So you see them there on the Western Conference. They get a break. Beautiful bracket that they put up. There it is. Boom.
Whoa.
Anyway. Look at that. Zoom into the West, my guy. Give us this budget. What's going on?
We're still adjusting to how the resources that we actually have.
Yeah,
impresses us every single week.
It's a bit much for me. This is where that Bobka money's going into. So we got LAFC. They're gonna get a break. So they get a bye.
Yeah.
But if you look at the West, Minnesota versus LA Galaxy. There's no one. I can't pick a favorite there.
And these are all, just if you do not know, these are all single game eliminations.
That's right.
You have to basically, the home team is going to have a huge upside, huge favorite. And it's crazy.
The other team has Zlatan.
Yeah, exactly. But on decision day, like those, you needed to win those games to possibly host the game. And LA Galaxy will have to go to Allianz Field and play Minnesota. This is probably the only one where I feel LA Galaxy really have they're my favorite here. I think LA Galaxy can defeat Minnesota here.
I think Minnesota moves forward. I think I don't know where they're going to get goals from. They haven't scored that many goals towards the end of the season.
Yeah,
but I'm going to say the homie from Essex County, Murder Mason Toy, baby. Murder Mace.
Okay, he loves being called that.
Yeah, he loves it. Shouts to Murder Mace. Toy, I think Toy's going to be toying with the Galaxy. You know what I mean?
Okay. No one's ever used that before.
Nah.
The match between RSL and Portland.
I think that's going to go to Portland. They won the last match.
At Rio Tinto? I don't think so.
They don't even have a coach.
I think it's going to be tough. I think RSL is the favorite.
And I think Seattle's going to pull it out against Dallas. Shouts to Dallas. Great young players. I think it's going to be too much of them. Let's go to the East real quick. The East is also set.
NYCFC has
the break.
All right.
Who do you think they're going to play, Toronto or DC?
Oh, I think DC just has not looked great.
No, they're trash. give it to Toronto. Philly versus Red Bulls. This one I'm going to be so excited to watch.
This is a good match.
I kind of want to go to this game if we're around.
Yeah, I don't know if we're available, but this is going to be a good one. It's tough to pick. I don't know who's going to win this one.
Especially
if Ale Bedoya is healthy and comes back.
It's going to be tough.
Maybe just Philly just a little bit more.
I'm going to say this is a pick 'em. It could go either way. And then, Atlanta versus New England. Old MLS versus new MLS. Brooklyn Bruce versus Frank de Boer.
Yep.
This is going to be huge. I think it goes to Atlanta.
Yeah, New England. They it's been an incredible story, right? After the season, the way their season started.
Yeah.
Nobody thought they would make it to the playoffs.
No,
and
nobody.
The fact that they're here is just it pretty much incredible. And Bruce Arena, clearly he's very good at his job.
Yeah.
But Atlanta should take this one.
So I feel like it's going to be Atlanta. And if I had to pick a Philly or Rebel, if you had to pick one right now, who do you go?
I just got it with the home team. I'm going to pick the
Rebels just because I think Rebel Atlanta will be a fun game. As much as I love Philly.
Oh, yeah. No, that would be definitively incredible game.
It was just announced that Bastian Schweinsteiger is retiring.
Yes.
We have a long torrid history with. I don't know if I use that correctly.
It sounds
long passionate history with.
Yes. Bastian Schweinsteiger announced his retirement. He last team he's played for, the Chicago Fire, who also announced that they are going to be, they had like the promo video and did the whole thing
to go to Soldier Field,
moving to Soldier Field. So Bastian
Stegger's like, nope, I'm staying in Bridgeview, baby.
I ain't going anywhere. I signed a contract to play. I have to play 45 minutes away from downtown.
I will bring this team to the World Cup on my own if I have to.
Yes, and that was our history with it, where we, if you guys are not aware, you can look at it on our Instagram.
But also, don't forget, in the scrum, he made fun of me for wearing he thought I was Colombian because I had the Columbia jersey on.
Which is a fair assessment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If somebody's draped in a flag, you'll be like, hey, you from that place?
No, I was just a little cold.
So, but yes, that when we went to Chicago for the All-Star game and we got to talk to Bastion in that scrum, we got to talk to him in the press conference. But basically, what ended up happening was
when he first got to, when he was
announced by the Chicago Fire, a journalist asked him, you know, do you think the Chicago Fire can win the World Cup now that you're here?
Yeah.
And everybody
can happen.
Which can happen. That's not how it works.
Yeah, you can't let an MLS team into a competition for nations. It doesn't work that way.
So we got, you know, American soccer got roasted that day.
Yeah, we took a big old L.
Right? It was, you know, the guy was sent, I forgot what publication was
sent. He was just like a videographer who got to ask a question. He didn't know what he was doing. He was just there.
Exactly.
But whatever. But it just goes to show just how naive a lot of Americans are about the sport of soccer. Yeah. And they tried to fix it and say he meant the FIFA Club World Cup. Yeah, sure he did.
Yeah,
he does. How about this? Nobody remembers that's a competition. You know?
He definitely does not know what the FIFA Club World Cup is.
He was like, yeah, that's what I meant. Is that real? Y'all messing with me.
Thanks for saving me, yo. I could have looked real dumb out here. Yeah.
So we got a chance to interview him a couple months later at the All-Star game.
Yes.
And we asked, you know, do you think that this game against a big team shows the movement of American soccer, and also now that you're with the MLS All-Stars, do you think now you can win the World Cup? Got a big laugh, big pop.
Got a big laugh. We're crushing in the press conference room.
Buddy, bunch of people writing in their notebooks, had to look up and laugh.
You know, it's very difficult to get them to look up, but they did.
Shortly thereafter, we were asked by an executive, do you have to come to these conferences? That is a fact.
That is 100%
true. How about you no longer show up to these press conferences? Words said directly to our faces.
Yes, but it turned out that the journalist that was that had originally asked the question
was standing behind us
in the room.
But also I had talked to Bastion about asking it again. Like, they had a cue back and forth that they had prepared.
Yeah.
Sorry.
We ruined it.
Comedy's all about timing, baby.
Get in there. Raise your hand first.
Yeah.
But yes, at least we got to see Bastion, for a year and a half in this league. And it was cool. I mean, we got to see those thick calves in person.
That's right. His calves are so big that the kit guy has to stretch his socks over a massive bottle of vodka. This is all fact.
This is 100% true.
That's the only way he could get socks on his leg.
Yeah, I wish we had a photo of his legs, but if you look up Bastion Schweinsteiger's calves.
You know the jug with the three X's that like Warner Brother cartoons would drink out of? That's what he have to stretch it over. I'm not making that up.
Yeah.
That's the bottle with the handle is the one they have to stretch socks over to get it over his calves.
Yeah, it's just very, very...
What's happening in Germany, man? I feel like he only took steroids in his calves.
He didn't want them anywhere else.
That doesn't seem real.
He's like, no, they go into your butt. He's like, no, put them in my calves.
Put it in the source.
But yes, but we did get to see him, and it was a cool thing, man.
It was cool. So
another announced retirement, even though he made it into the playoffs, Michael Parkhurst of Atlanta United. He announced this was his last season, been around a long time, made it to 3 MLS Cups with the New England Revolution, lost all of them, but he won with Atlanta United. So it was all correct.
You know who else retired?
Who?
All the Orlando City fans. What a real shame. You know?
they retired to bed in the fetal position, I think.
They're like, why? Why can't we be Miami International?
Unfortunate. All right, you know, there's a lot of hopefully they can figure it out in the next season, even with but it's only going to be tougher with there's going to be new teams.
Yeah.
Is it only Miami in next year?
I think only Miami joins.
We have two. No, Austin's a follower.
Yeah, the following year.
All right. So it's going
to
be.
Shouts to you, SoCal Andrew. We miss you, buddy.
He's very much alive and fine.
Nashville's also Miami. That's Nashville. Right.
Okay, cool. All right. What a great show.
Come on, huh? We had Gloria and Yael and us and Bastion and
Bastion's calves.
Yeah, we talked about it all.
No, another fun episode. Thank you again for watching. Thank you for all the people. People have been very supportive, sticking with us, you know, all this time. Sure. So we appreciate
sticking with us through all the tough times.
It's been a tough 8 episodes, ninth, you know. It's been challenging making TV, but we're figuring it out.
And shouts to EMLS for the dope kit.
Thank you.
That's the Kick Cancer kit. Shouts to Philadelphia
Philadelphia Union. And shouts to Christian Polanco. I'm Alexis Guerrero.
And together, what are we? The Kool-Aid!